Resident.
Hello?
Hi, Dick.
Resident,
are
you?
Fine. I thought I was going to hear from you, and
I was going to call you yesterday, and then I thought I'd call you Monday.
Good.
I think that maybe your idea that you had last week was a good one.
Yeah.
And the only thing on the approach of it, I had a chance to talk a little bit, but not too much Wednesday night. And, of course, I kept saying what we all know, that after all, this is a selection that's made by the president. And when the time comes, he'll make the selection. And then I, you know, suggested some conversation with you. And I think, as you mentioned last week, the only thing is I was wondering about the timing, when you would do it. This is, I think, of vital importance. How you time it, whether you think it should be done the first of the week, or whether you think it should be done the middle or the last, or whether you think there should be some preliminary conversation. And were you going to say very definitely that you were not, he was not in your scheme of thinking, or were you going to tell him who it was? These are some of the things that concern me. I think that it concerned you, and I was, that's what I was trying to do some thinking about over the weekend. How are you going to approach this on the basis that in this scheme of things of the people you're thinking, that you wanted him to know that he was being considered or not considered or what?
I thought that I'd have to say that had been considered, but I wouldn't recommend. Here's what I thought I would say. I watched this development at San Francisco and very carefully since then.
Yeah.
And I see now that Mr. Wallace is out of the race. There's a good deal of conversation about various people, and some of them friends are getting active on the vice presidential question, and I think it's pretty basic that the president should have the person that he personally feels the greatest rapport with, and that he feels can be of the most value, and that he feels he would like to have on the ticket. Now, in the light of what has happened at San Francisco and their nomination and who they've selected their running mate, and the fact that the Middle West is going to be our battleground, and view the fact you're in my cabinet and there's a good deal of activity on your behalf in some of these states, I thought I owed it to you to be frank with you and say to you that I don't think that this is the year for you to go for the number two spot. And therefore, I have concluded that I would not recommend that. I would be glad to have any your views and carefully consider them on who you think might be. And I'd like you to know that I think you have a future in the party and a bright one. And I would be glad to seriously consider working with you in any particular assignment that would interest you. And I think down the road that you would have a very good opportunity and very bright future, and I would be inclined to help you with it as much as I could. But I think that because you're in my cabinet, because if I say nothing, your people may misinterpret it, that I think I ought to tell you now, before we get divided and before you get up a lot of steam, that I don't think, in the light of their nominees and their platform and the thing that'll confront the Democrats this year, that this is your year for the number two spot.
Well, I think it's good, but I'd also say that I've canvassed with, you know, different people.
Yeah.
And they are of the opinion also that after the San Francisco thing.
Yeah.
I do also would talk about unity. We have to have unity in order to win. I wouldn't, you know, make it any difference. divided. I just say that what we're working for, what I've been working for, is unity here.
Yeah.
Going into this Atlantic City Convention with the forces of the Democratic Party, not similar to what happened out on the West Coast, but united 100%. And this is what I'm working to, and that's why I felt I owed it to you and friends and everyone else to talk to you this way, so we wouldn't have any, we'd have the greatest unity going in, because the importance of this is not any individual, but the whole country is involved here. And I think this is what I mentioned Wednesday.
Yeah.
This is a question of individuals, more or less. This is a question of the entire country and the world, and what kind of leadership we're going to have. I think maybe you're right in doing it. When would you do it? Next week?
I thought so. I was just kind of waiting. I thought I might even do it today, but I guess he's out of town. I was just kind of waiting until I heard y'all's conversation, because I felt he'd raise the question with you, and I wanted to kind of get your reaction. And I don't want to say this publicly, but I have talked to myself or through my intermediaries to about 15 governors in the South and the border states.
Yeah.
Without exception, every one of them say that there would be no hope if we went his route. That they just don't even look to him, including my home state. Just say we can't carry that. We have great problems as it is,
yeah.
And we just can't do it. Yesterday, we had the Midwest governors in, and that included Wisconsin and Iowa and North Dakota and Minnesota, and one of my assistants sat down and visited with them afterwards, and there was not a single one that felt that I shouldn't have my own running mate, and not a single one that advocated his route. Now, Lawrence says that his people will be for whoever I want, although they're starting a little rump movement up there with a disgruntled auto workers organization man who tried to throw Ruther out at the last convention, and they're trying to get 100,000 signatures for the Kennedy name. And but Lawrence says that they pay no attention to him and he's an extremist, but I think that's a bad thing to be starting, and by your cabinet start doing it. If your council starts doing that way to you, that you take in on your ticket, why, pretty soon they can discredit you.
Yes. I think you're right there.
And what reaction did you get from him? Do you think that, does he feel he ought to have it? Does he feel that he's entitled to it? Does he feel he wants to fight for it, or what?
Well, not the latter. I kept him trying to press that, after all, as long as I've been attending convention, and probably long before I attended, it's always been the decision of the president to select his running mate.
Yeah.
So this is fundamental. So I agree with that. Well, I said, that's why I think you should sit down and talk to him and find out what he's thinking about. I said, I don't know. Neither does anyone else. That's a decision the president makes himself, and it stays the same way after he thinks over and listens to a lot of people. And I said, it would be made the same way it was made in 60 and made in 56 and 52 and 48, as long as I can go back, and probably before that. If this is the tradition and this is the position, then there must be a conversation between you and the president. Well, he agreed with that. After all, this is a decision.
Did you leave the impression with him, or make it clear that your group would be with the for the president selecting his man?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. He knows that.
Oh, yeah.
They keep putting out, you know, about all the northern leaders.
Yeah, well, they keep saying a lot of things, but they actually and honestly, and he understands this thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite reconciled to the fact that the which is, everyone knows, you don't have to be told that after all it is a decision that the president makes himself.
That,
sure, you've got a man, not only as a candidate, but you also got a man that's in the number two spot in your entire setup.
Did he give you any indication that he knew of the trend of my thinking?
He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He kept saying, you know, how everyone was depending upon some of the fellas to speak out, including myself. I said, well, after all, you don't know one speaks out in a thing like this that has any real understanding or experience in this field. This is a decision we all await the word of the president. And after he, I said, we hope that we will get a good man. We hope, and we all strive, we're asked, we give whatever suggestions. But I said, after all, this is something that the president does himself. And I said, that's the way it should be.
Thank you, Dick. Now, two things I want to mention to you. I got these governors were in raising hell about everything going to the east into California. I don't want to make that an issue for obvious reasons. California is a pretty vital and big state, and we don't want to picket anybody. But I did ask McNamara to carry through on the whole area, just as I did in your city. And I had him come over and meet with them and ask him to set up a study group and let's try to have some presentations made to him and make them pretty conscious of the need of looking at every section of the country and using all of our resources that we'll need in case of an emergency. So he's going to do that now, and I think you ought to get your best planners and some of your industrial people, your companies, Motorola, General Electric, or whoever's out there, maybe get some of the biggest ones that have defense orders and have your planner group talk to them and have them kind of present some suggestions to him, what they have available and what they could do and what fields they could do it. And you come down here and see him at a lunch, or I'll have him come out there and see some of your people, or I'll do any way you want to handle it.
Well, very good, and we appreciate it very much. In addition, I do hope you'd consider putting Kerner on in a place of prominence in the national convention, especially when they gave so much time to Percy. We would be look as though we were being ignored, and if this is a typical state, Illinois, then we're gonna have to try to get Kerner on there. And I wish you to think about that and help us, because it would be nice if he would play a prominent part in the whole
thing.
It'd help us.
That's good. Now, the second thing, Dick, I don't know what your plans are, but I wish that you'd have your best man that has a problem with you, with your young people and with your unemployed, talk to Shriver.
Well, they've been down there, and we're moving, and all we need is the wherewithal to do it.
I'd like the day I sign the act, if we passed it in the Senate, and we'll have a fight in the House, but we think we'll pass it next week there, and we hope without going to a conference. Then I would like to sign it, and the next day make a rather substantial allocation in three or four real difficult spots, and I'd like for one of them to be in Chicago.
I think we'd appreciate it very much.
And I think that you could attach yourself pretty well to your great interest in young people, and I'd look at the number of young ones that would be eligible for this that are unemployed there, and I'd have my people, welfare, whoever does it, to contact Shriver's people and say, now, we want to be the first in the United States. And we want a substantial camps and substantial work projects and so forth. And then we ought to try to at least get a lot of stuff going by November.
I think this would be wonderful, and we'd like to work 100%.
Well, you get your man that handles young people.
I just want to say this. The Daily family watched you yesterday. We thought it was excellent.
Well, thank
you. The way you handled yourself, it was just marvelous. And every bit of a great president and our leader, we really, really enjoyed and appreciated the masterful way and the fine and high-class way in which you handled that whole situation.
Well, you're wonderful, and Mr. Rayburn's gone now. I'm going to lean on you, Dick. I hope I don't get wear you out.
You don't wear me out.
Okay.
We keep the together, and I'm sure that we'll do a great job for this country.
I'll try.
I think this thing will work out the way you've got it planned.
Okay, Dave.